in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Some people think, is it this avalanche of glory ministry? You people, you like prayer too much. Is it that you don't teach the word? And you know, when you hear people talk like that, please recommend them to our Telegram channel so that they will understand the kind of teachings we do here. But we have come to understand that just teaching people God's word is not enough. There is an irreplaceable place for prayer. Listen to me, oh. Can you know more word than Jesus? Jesus did not just know the word. Jesus did not just know revelation. He didn't just have revelation knowledge of the word. Jesus was the word made flesh. John 1:14. He said, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But look at the prayer life of Jesus when he was on earth. Look at his prayer life. He didn't need to pray like that when he was in heaven. But he understand the law of territory. As long as you are on this earth, he said, men ought always to pray and not to give up. He understand that to impact this world, to fulfill your divine destiny, to fulfill God's will, plans and purposes, to enforce the will of God, to carry out divine agenda, to advance the kingdom, prayer is not an option. Prayer is as important as the oxygen you are breathing. Am I communicating? Prayer is as important on earth as the oxygen you are breathing. That's why he said pray without ceasing. Just like you breathe without ceasing. Am I communicating? You know, you can't survive more than 4 minutes without oxygen. Your brain will shut down. Oh, you know, you die. So just like the human, physical human body cannot survive without breathing, you can't survive without prayer, spiritually speaking. Am I communicating? He said pray, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, right? He said pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Make it your lifestyle. It was John G. Lake. They asked him about his prayer life. He said, I pray as I run, and I run as I pray. I pray as I run, and I run as I pray. He said to me, prayer is everything. Everything is prayer. John G. Lake, the apostle to South Africa, the mighty healing miracle ministry. You need to go and see his exploit. Planted over, is it 5,000 churches in 5 years of ministry? So many, many exploits he did. He traced it to prayer. They asked Oral Robot, what is the secret? You built a city. You built a university, ORU, Oral Robot University. You built a prayer tower. Am I communicating? You built a Bible school that have raised so many giants. They say, what is the secret? He was the first person to build a university in America. The first preacher. A private Christian university. They asked him, what is the secret? He said, I pray in tongues and I sow my seed. Two dangerous combinations to make unstoppable progress in life and speedy advancement. He said, I pray in tongues and I sow my seed, or a robot. Say, this is the secret behind all this exploit you are seeing. I pray in tongues and I sow my seed. Am I communicating? This is how to do big things. Oh, I pray in tongues and I sow my seed. Barakataya, lo freketiza, balateni, la branda kapatai, koletiza brakatia. Before this ministry started, I was counseled by a man of God. I went for counseling. I printed out the vision for the ministry in Abuja. I showed him. I said, this is what God put in my heart to do. This AGMI vision. A year before we started, he told me something. He said, he gave me so many other counsel, but there was something he said I will never forget. He said, there is no any other way to break new ground other than prayer and fasting. He said, this is how you break new ground, especially when you are pioneering a new work. You know, this is the mistake that people make when they are starting ministry. They are overly concerned about the stage, all the light, blue, green, fine stage, fine boy, suit, tie, mic, all those effizy things. Are you getting me? People become, they prioritize those things. But they forget that you can't beat the principle. Listen, to pioneer any new work is like you want to build a house. When you want to build a house, what is the most important thing you start with? You lay foundation. And Kenneth Copeland wrote a book. It says, prayer, the foundation for success. So if you want to break new ground, you want to pioneer a new work, whether it is ministry or business or career, it doesn't matter. Prayer is the foundation. Prayer is a sure foundation for success. I will never forget that statement. He said, no any other way to break new ground other than through prayer and fasting. So that is the key. You can't beat it. You have to prioritize it. It's not an option. It's a priority. It's not elective. It's not an elective course. It is what? Compulsory. You know, in the university, they are what? Elective courses and a mandatory course. Prayer is a mandatory course in the school of destiny with a very high credit load. Very high. You can't fulfill your destiny without prayer on it. Impossible. Impossible. The only place you don't need prayer is heaven. Did you hear what I said? Heaven. But as long as you're on earth, men ought always to what? Pray and not to give up. And it was D.L. Moody that said, if there is a man to pray, there is a God to answer. If there is a man to pray, there is a God to answer. Kabarakata. This was how we laid the foundation. And we are continually laying foundation because we know where we are going. Am I communicating? Ministry begins on your knees. Ministry is sustained on your knees. Ministry is consummated on your knees. Very important. Somebody wanted to start ministry. I think it was Pastor Chris Oyakilome, like his cousin. One of his cousins wanted to start a new work. He went to Pastor Chris for advice. How do I start? Pastor Chris looked at him. He raised his leg, his trouser like this. He said, what can you see? Fresh leg. He raised it up again. What can you see? Fresh leg. He raised it up. When it got to the knee, he said, what can you see? He saw black patches, black scars that have healed and all of that on both legs. And then he said, that is how to start. That was the advice Pastor Chris gave him. This Pastor Chris, you see fine boy like that, fine boy. You know, there are people that do, they copy him, they do fine boy, even do their hair, they even jerry-coil their hair more than Pastor Chris. They think it's by those things. They even borrow money to buy suit to look like that. You don't know the sacrifices behind that suit. You don't know the sacrifices behind the packaging. All those things are just packaging. You know, we are selling a product. It's called the gospel. We have to package well, right? But don't be carried. Don't be deceived by all of that. You think that is all there is to it. You are wrong. You are wrong. If you think that is all there is to it, you are wrong. Am I communicating? If you know the amount of prayer investment behind the packaging, you will think twice. These are men of prayer. You can't do exploits. You can't impact and influence planet Earth without the help of spirits. Are you getting me? Anybody that commands global influence and impact, it must be with what? Partnership with the realm of the spirit. You must partner with the realm of the spirit through prayer and other methods. Are you getting me? This is very important too. We just finished GIC. What a phenomenal success. Clap for yourself. You all did well. You know? And the testimonies are crazy. The vibe is everywhere. If I went to minister in Zaria, even the pastor I went to minister for, he was telling me that he followed the meeting online. That wow, he was so blessed that he followed it online. So many pastors, not just members, not just even people, even pastors followed the stream that meeting. You understand? Not to talk of the multitude that came. You think those people just woke up and decided to come? You think they just came like that? You know, you need to have spiritual intelligence. Glory to God. Nobody just wakes up and decides to come like that. Or you think it's because we did publicity with billboard? I can show you some people that did more billboard than us, whether they were able to gather that kind of crowd. I've told you before, publicity is to create awareness, but it doesn't mean they will come. It only informs them that such a kind of meeting will happen. Are you interested? It will take spiritual power, compelling power, spiritual force to pull people. And that is where you need to pray. Because influence is first spiritual. Are you getting the point? You now see why we went on 21 days prayer and fasting. Maybe by next year it's going to be 30 days. We may upgrade to 30 days. Are you getting me? Life is very spiritual. Let me tell you, neighbor, things don't just happen. They are made to happen. You know, earlier, long ago, it was MD Sam. Okay, MD, where's MD Sam? Okay, it's okay. Pastor Penn, he has gone for NYSC. Celebrate him. I think he should be in Benue by now. He was posted to Benue. He met me. He was telling me one time that somebody had a dream, and that was several months before GIC. A person had a dream. In fact, not just one person, like two persons. That they saw the program. It was a flat failure. The team failed big time. It failed. And he was worried. He met me. I laughed. I told him, do you remember that last Kingdom World Summit we did? I said, I had that kind of dream too. I had that kind of dream. You know, I came for the program, and then, you know, the people around were not over up to 10. And then the guest minister, I even saw Apostle Zeman seated, but nobody came. You know, everywhere was just helter-skelter. You understand? Now, if you don't know God's word, you go suffer. You will lose in life. Now, somebody can have that kind of dream and then you will now conclude that it's not the will of God. Have you met people like that? You don't use that to find out God's will. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
And it was that particular Kingdom Wealth Summit 2019 that I had all the previous one. I did not dream that kind of yeye dream. It was that particular one that I had that yeye dream. That was the one that was even more massive than all the others. So I told them the psalm. I said, the Bible did not say, it is unto you according to what you saw in a dream. He said, it is unto you according to your faith. Are you getting me? I don't believe any dream that is not in line with the word of God. Did you hear what I just said? Any dream you dream that is not in line with God's word, is not in line with God's will for your life, don't believe it. What should you believe? Find out what the word of God has to say about that situation. That is the one you should believe. That's the one you should believe, you should declare, you should pray out. Are you getting my point? It is unto you according to your faith, not according to what you saw in a dream. I will accept a dream if it is in line with God's word and God's will. Beautiful. But anyone that contradicts, I don't believe it. I will change it. That's what I told Pastor Penn. I said, any negative thing you see in a dream is subject to change. It's still a suggestion awaiting your approval. Question, will you approve? Will you put your stamp of approval? That negative dream is not the conclusion of the matter. It is what you believe and say that is the conclusion. Are you getting my point? You need to understand this thing I'm teaching you. It's very important. Now, if we were to go by those dreams those people had, we wouldn't have held the program. Maybe we would have said it's not the will of God. But is that what God told us? But look at how it ended. Can you see that was a lie from the pit of hell? Because it's not only God that can give people dreams. Satan too can give people dreams. Eh? Is it only God that is the source of dreams? Dreams can come from God. They can come from Satan too. Satan can show you things to confuse you. You don't know? Satan can show you things. Husband and wife. Satan can carry the face of either can carry the face of the husband in a dream. Give Satan the wife a dream. The wife had a dream. What did she saw? See, she saw her husband carrying cutlass, pursuing her. He wanted to kill her. And then she now woke up from the dream. Ah, so this man is a witch, a wizard, is a demon. I married a demon. And then, if she does not have understanding, that may be the end of the marriage. If she is not discerning enough to know that, look, this is not my husband. You don't know there are what we call familiar spirits. You've not heard of familiar spirits. Familiar spirit can carry the face of anybody close to you. And then, you will now dream about the person trying to do you evil. You will now think, if you use just your head to calculate, you will think the person is the one. No, it's not the person. That's why you have to be discerning. Am I communicating? You have to be discerning. Now, if that woman had concluded that wrongly that her husband is after her life, she would just pack her things and leave the marriage. Abby? She will go back to her father's house. Then they ask her, what's the problem? He said, here is it. She will even say, God have shown me a revelation. God showed me the revelation. This man, he wants to kill me. Is it what ignorance can do? Are you getting me? When you dream a dream, when you wake up, ask yourself this question. You have to discern the source of the dream. This dream,
Is it from God? Is it from Satan? Or is it from my mind? Because the Bible says dreams can come as a result of multitude of business. When you worry too much about something, or you think too much about something, you are obsessed in your thought about it. It will show up in your dream. So these are the three sources of dream. You need to discern which one is which. Then you now ask yourself, what I saw, what I heard, is it in line with God's word? Is it in line with God's will? That's very important. Anything you don't like, change it. Period. Anything you saw or you heard or you felt in your dream that you don't like, change it using the word of God. Don't accept it. Change it. Are you getting my point? This is very important. Somebody may dream now. Familiar spirit can now carry my face and appear to the person in the dream. And then you now see me carrying red calabash on one hand, then black pot on another hand. And then I'm now wearing the attire of an occultic person. And then I now appear to the person and say, come. Now the person will now wake up from the dream. He say, so Papa, they use demonic power. Oh, chai! It's avalanche. I don't enter one chance. Now, if the person does not have understanding, do you know that will be the end? The person will not come to this meeting. They will stop coming. In fact, they will be telling other people the dream that we are diabolic here. But not knowing that that is the devil, that familiar spirit that masqueraded like Papa and appeared to the person. The person will not know that this is not Papa. This is familiar spirit operation. But how many Christians have that understanding? Do you understand my point? That's why the Bible says, with all your getting, get what? Understanding. With all your getting, get what? Understanding. One of my brothers called me. He said he had this dream. Chai! That he saw my father. He said he didn't know my father. Our own father. He said he didn't know my father was responsible for all his problem. He said God had finally shown him that he saw Baba. I just look, I laugh. I said, see, let me tell you what happened. I had to explain to him. I said, that's the operation of familiar spirits. They can impersonate people. I said, well, the person you saw in that dream was not Baba. It's not our father. It's familiar spirit impersonating, carrying his face. So, I said, the familiar spirit, they want to confuse you. That's why they gave you that kind of dream. I had to re-educate him. When I was done explaining to him, he then said, okay, now I understand. You better understand though. Because that is how things like this have caused problems in families. You know, this one will start suspecting the other person. Now, you understand? Before you know, infighting, fight between husband and wife, fight between parents and children. Just because somebody had a dream. Deceiving spirits. Familiar spirits. They can carry people's face. You don't know? Can carry people's face. Say you had a dream. You just saw Pastor Nenkoop carrying food inside calabash, and he's telling you, arise, eat. The journey is long. You now wake up. You say, hey, no wonder. Chai. So they want to initiate me in this ministry into their cult. Hey. Can you imagine? I had a dream. I saw it. God showed me. They will say, God showed me. Now, lie, familiar spirit have confused your head. It's not God that showed you. Are you getting me? Wake up. You need to judge your dreams. Judge them. Don't just believe any dream you have. Judge it. Are you getting me? Use the word of God to judge it. Use your spirit to judge it. Your inward witness to judge it. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, judge all dreams. and refuse to be deceived. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I will not be a victim of satanic deception. I will not be a victim of the operations of familiar spirits showing me things, showing me dreams and visions to confuse me. Is that not how some people say they saw vision? And in the vision, only two people made heaven. Have you heard people like that? Rapture took place, only two people made heaven in the whole church. Somebody, a woman even said she saw a vision. She saw Papa Idaoza in hellfire. She saw who again self in hellfire. Eh? She saw Papa Idaoza in hellfire. She saw Pastor E. Adeboye in hellfire. She saw who again? All the men of God, including the one we even know for holiness. She saw Kumuyi, all of them. She saw them in hellfire. And you see, there are even some men of God that have invited her to come and share that vision in revival crusades. Then God then spoke to her that if people like that did not make heaven, what makes you think you can make heaven? Consider your ways and repent. You hear people crying, then you will not make altar call. Emotional response. Forgiveness is not a gift for soberness. You will not come and cry, Jesus, consider my case. All those emotionalism, sensationalism. If you are not careful, you will think it's a move of the spirit. It's not any move of the spirit, oh. It's emotional manipulation. There's a way I can manipulate your emotion, you even start crying. It's not the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, oh, that is making them cry. They were emotionally manipulated. Don't believe those kind of yeah vision. The Bible says we should judge them. You judge them. Can you tell me that this one is here, that one is here? Now, my question is, how come they did not see my people like Abacha in hell? Yeah, now, it's funny. They, in their vision, they will never see Adolf Hitler in hell. Mahatma Gandhi. Osama Bin Laden. Joseph Stalin. They will never see those ones in hell. It's people like Idaoza that they are seeing in hell. Idi Amin, that was eating human flesh, human being alive. They will never see vision of them in hell. Who are you deceiving? It's not God that showed them that vision. You don't need to think twice. It's demons, familiar spirits. They are victims of demonic deception. But they will believe it and say it was God that showed them. No, be God. We know the vision that is from God. We judge it based on the word of God. Are you getting me? God cannot contradict himself. One of the greatest weapons of Satan is deception. Deception. And if you are not well grounded in the word of God and the things of God, I'm telling you, you will fall victim of satanic deception. Any vision, any dream, any revelation you see that is not in line with the word of God, that is not in accordance with God's word and will, don't believe it. Don't believe it. It's not everyone that came from God. Am I communicating? Don't accept it. And if you don't like anything you see, change it. You have the power to change it. I say you have the power to change it. Glory to God. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. Porabakasaya. Li grondo so frekete. Pray in tongues for 1 minute. Shapata kabaya. Li kobota kaba. Activate your spirit. Activate your spirit. When you speak in tongue, you edify yourself. You charge up yourself. You charge up your spirit. Lagetose beletina. Ambrakata. Skomberekete. Koletizo boragabadia. Sabranda kapatai. Isulege belete. Rundekepa. Ragabatoni. Ingraskapa. Jeli brokotos. Kepeleteni. Rondo brakatia. Kaligo borokoto brakatai. Li grendo sevelete. Kabarando brusketila borakapatia. Kabrande gebura balatana. Sombregida. La kronde kepo. In the name of Jesus. The art and science of prayer. The art and science of prayer. The art and science of prayer. We've been hearing teachings today on prayer. How many of you have been blessed so far? Pastor Mafeng spoke on the principle and power of intercession. Thank you, sir. I was so blessed by that teaching. We'll soon upload all the messages on our Telegram channel. And then Pastor Nenkub Kubeli spoke on the dynamics of prevailing prayer. God bless you, sir, for that powerful, insightful teaching. And now me, I will be talking on the art, A-R-T, the art, A-R-T, and science of prayer. The art and science of what? Prayer. Prayer is both an art and a science. There is the art of prayer, then there is the science of prayer. Am I communicating? You need both, okay? There is a science of prayer. The science of prayer talks about the methods, how to pray, when to pray, where to pray, with whom to pray, to whom to pray. It has to do with the knowledge and understanding of prayer. All those keys to successful prayer, all of that is under the science of prayer. It talks of the know-how. Am I communicating? The methodologies, the principles, just like we've been taught. Are you getting my point? It's under the science of prayer. How to pray the right way, because not everybody is praying the right way. Many people pray, but few pray the right way. There is the right way to pray, there is the wrong way to pray. I think it was on Friday, if you listen to my broadcast on PRTV, I spoke on a very powerful and very important theme. That's the causes and cure of unanswered prayers. As in causes, what causes unanswered prayer and the cure for it. And I was trying to explain something there. I say so many people pray, but not many people receive answers to their prayer, because not many people know the right way to pray. Until you pray the right way, there is no guarantee of answer. Am I communicating? If you don't follow the proper procedure, you will not get an answer, and it's not God's fault. If you go to ATM, you want to withdraw money using ATM or POS. If you don't follow those instructions, if you don't follow the procedure, will you get money? No. And is it a fault of the machine? No. It's your own fault. It's a user problem. So, the science of prayer talks about you understanding, knowledge and understanding of those principles, those methodologies, the know-how. Am I communicating? The rules, the guiding principles, the governing rules of prayer. Then there is the art of prayer. The art of prayer talks of the practice of prayer. The application
of those principles, are you getting me, that you have learned through the science of prayer, when you are now applying them practically, you are now practicing it. You are now praying practically. That's the art of prayer. Are you getting me? So listen, don't stop at the science of prayer. This is a mistake some people make. Have you met people like that? They have so much knowledge about prayer. They have so much revelation about prayer, the principle, the power prayer can do. You understand? How to pray, the keys to effective prayer. They can even teach it. They know all those things, but they are not praying. They are not practicing what they know. Are you getting me? That they know the science of prayer, but what is lacking? The art of prayer. So how can your life change? Until you do what you know, you are not wise. So they are not walking in wisdom. They know, they understand, but they are not applying it practically. The blessing is in the doing, right? Until you do what you know, you are not wise. In fact, you don't truly believe something until what you claim to believe becomes your conviction. And it is running your life. Until what you believe is seen in your action, you don't truly believe it. Are you getting me? Believe is an action word. Believing is an action word. It's a verb. Am I communicating? Until what you know and truly believe has become your practice, is seen in your action, you don't truly believe that. You don't know as you ought to know. If all your knowledge about prayer is not leading you to pray, if all you understand about prayer is not making you pray, then I'm telling you, you don't know it as you ought. Something is missing. Are you getting me? We're talking about the art and science of prayer. God wants you to have both. Tell your neighbor, both. Both the science and the art. Don't just stop at knowledge and understanding. There must be practical application. Because until you pray, your life will not change, things will not change. Are you getting my point? You unlock the power of prayer by praying. Not just by head knowledge, by praying. The knowledge and revelation and understanding will help you pray effectively. But if you don't pray at all, even after acquiring the relevant knowledge, the revelation, the understanding concerning prayer, if you fail to pray, then you will be denied all the blessings and benefits of prayer. You can't enjoy them. Am I communicating? This is very important. Give me Luke chapter 11. Look at Jesus. Luke 11 verse 1. Look at Jesus. Though Jesus was the Word made flesh, he didn't just have revelation of the Word, he was the Word in manifestation. He was the walking Word, the talking Word, but he had a very solid prayer life. He was a man of prayer. He didn't just have the science of prayer, he was practicing prayer as an art. Am I communicating? Prayer was the master's lifestyle. Even before he started his ministry, he engaged in 40 days fasting. What was he doing those 40 days that he fasted? What was Jesus doing? He was meditating on the word of God, the Torah, the law. And then he was spending time in prayer. That was what he was doing for that 40 days and 40 nights. Am I communicating? Before he started his ministry. And of course, look at how impactful and influential his ministry was. Very successful. The mighty miracles, signs and wonders, healings, etc. that accompanied his ministry.
Even before Jesus chose his leaders, he prayed. Before he chose the 12 disciples, Jesus did all night. You see that in Luke 6:12. Don't go there. Luke 6:12. Just take note. Jesus did all night before he chose his 12 disciples. Listen, don't make important decisions without first praying, consulting God in prayer. Before you make important decisions, spend time in prayer to discern and find out God's will and to align with it. Am I communicating? Important decisions like who to marry. Important decisions like where to stay. As in, should I stay in Jos, or I should move to Abuja or Lagos, or I should Japa or not to Japa. Important decisions like that. Spend time in prayer to find out the will of God and then align with it in obedience. Don't just make those decisions casually. Decisions like which church, which ministry should I be committed? Where should I serve? Are you getting me? Important decisions like what kind of job offer to accept or to reject. Where I serve, they wanted to retain me. But when I prayed to God, God said, come down to Jos, leave that place. Don't stay there. If I was to be led by money and opportunity, I will stay there. There will be no AGMI today. Praise God. Perhaps by now, sir, I will be abroad. Maybe UK or US, earning some cool cash. Are you getting me? But I won't be fulfilling God's will. I'll be outside of God's perfect will. That will be the problem. I'll be making some money, but I will not be fulfilled deep inside my heart, because I'm not fulfilling purpose. Is there any time you are not fulfilling purpose? There is a joy. There is a fulfillment. There is an inner peace and satisfaction that you will never have. It's like that. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? Let me tell your neighbor, please, preach this to your neighbor. Say, let me advise your neighbor, before you make very important decisions, learn to consult God in prayer. Consult the Holy Spirit in prayer for guidance, for direction. Very important. Before Jesus chose his 12 disciples, he did all night prayers. What was he doing? Why did he pray? In order to find out God's will concerning which leaders to choose, and then to align with it in obedience. And yet, out of the 12, one was a Judas. Imagine if he had not prayed, if he just chose randomly, just check, which one, fine boy, pick him, fine girl, this one, get good voice, go join choir mistress, come and be MD, you know, just make carnal decisions. If Jesus had just choosing like that without praying, maybe somebody say, maybe he will have had like 11 Judases, then one genuine person, correct person. He will have had like 11 Judases. His ministry will have ended. Am I communicating? Sometimes I get surprised when some pastors, you know, they ordain somebody as a pastor in their ministry, you know, and then after a while, the person will even be the one to scatter the church. But sometimes, me, I used to wonder, I say, can't this pastor see that this person is not even supposed to be a leader? Me, I can discern it, but I wonder, is it that the pastor is not discerning enough? Am I communicating? Discernment is very important. You know, when somebody is talking to me, beyond what you are saying, I'm discerning your spirit. The Bible says we should try all spirits. I go beyond what the person is saying. So that's why it's very difficult to deceive me. Very hard. Child. Very hard. Close to impossible. with the help of the Holy Spirit. As you are talking, I'm testing and trying your spirit. Yes. I'm not just listening with my ears. I'm not just with seeing you with my eyes. I'm using my spirit to discern. Okay? Because people can lie. People can lie. With their words, they can lie, even with their looks. Are you getting me? There are some people that have come to my office. They will be talking. But as they are talking, I'm using my spirit to discern them. And while they are still talking, the Holy Spirit will now say, this person will ask you for money. Don't give him. He's a fraud. He's not genuine. He's fake. I'm not saying I don't help people. But when people call, like, they will come with sweet mouth. Oh, man of God, hey, you are heaven on earth. You are heaven and you are everything, almighty. I've had encounters with plenty of people like that. But me, I already know where they are going. I'm just waiting for them to finish. After they've talked all the story, I'm just waiting for you. You now say, there's this investment I made, and I'm expecting the money. It didn't come on time. You know, I have to pay house rent, and I just need like 45,000. To complete the one I have right now. You came late. The Holy Spirit have told me ahead of time. Sometimes the Holy Spirit may not tell me per se, but through the inward witness, I'm already getting, my spirit is troubled about the person. And then I know that this person, there's something that is not right about the person. Yes. My spirit is giving me danger. I'm seeing red lights. As I'm talking with the person. Eh? You know the meaning of red light in traffic system. I know that something is not right about this person. So I won't believe everything the person is saying. I won't just believe it like that. Am I communicating? If you are designing, it will save you so many headache. I'm telling you. Human beings fear people. Somebody say, after God, fear men. And now it's women that have been jilted. Don't serve you breakfast style. They are the one that, some of them will come online. Say, these men, they are all the same. They are all the same. Who is talking? Somebody that is a divorcee. Is the one advising other people. He's a woman. If you are a lady out there, let me tell you the truth. After God, fear men. She's speaking from her own experience. Is your experience the Bible? It's Bible we should believe, not your experience. Am I communicating? So if your experience is not in line with Bible, throw it away. Don't believe that kind of thing. Am I communicating? Then, some guys that have been jilted, maybe Omoge don't chop your money. A lady, you started paying her school fees from secondary school till university. She now graduates. She's now a graduate. She's now exposed. She's speaking Queen's English. You even paid for her visa to US. And then she now says she no do again. She cannot marry you. You now local league you dey play. She don't pass your level. Then you now come online. My people. You see women, and then be the problem for this world. Right from Genesis, the Bible. You know Siam? Now women, now they bring problem, come this world. Not be Eve, give Adam apple chop. Say, God for no even create women, self. If you know what one lady do me, I pay her school fees. You see, after God,
fear women. Say, in fact, if you see snake on your left and you see woman on your right, my brother, is they say choose one, choose snake, leave that woman. I'm telling you. If they say kill one, kill the woman, leave the snake. Speaking from his experience. Like I always say, your experience is not the Bible. Okay? So we will not believe you just because you are talking. If what you are saying does not rhyme with the Bible, forget. We will not accept it. Glory to God. What brought me here? Eh? Discernment. You need to be discerning. So you learn to pray. Prayer will sharpen your discernment. Listen, prayer will sensitize your spirit in order to know God's will, in order to understand God's will. It says you shouldn't be slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It says don't be unwise, but what? Understanding the will of God. Understanding the will of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Then he went ahead to show you how to understand God's will. He said, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is in excess. That's alcoholic wine. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. So when you are full of the Holy Ghost, you are drunk in the Holy Ghost, you will understand the will of God. Are you getting my point? So how do you get drunk? By praying in tongues, by spending time praising and worshiping God, by meditating on God's word. This is how to be drunk in the spirit. Am I communicating? And when you are drunk, you won't be asking, is it God's will? What is God's will? You will know the will of God. It will be downloaded to your spirit. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Some guys have deceived some ladies until the ladies have married them, only for them to discover the truth later. Now all now packaging. All now what? Package. Even the car that they thought that was the guy's car, is part of the package. Because guys know that ladies like all those nice things. Eh? So the guy will go collect car, borrow car somewhere. Eh? Even clothes, self, all. Package himself. Fine boy. With car. You know? You just drive and come and park where the lady is. He saw her trekking. Hello, pretty. She too, you just wind down from the jeep. Under hot sun. Sun don't mama her head. And she now sees somebody inside jeep with AC car. Hey, how many girls can resist that kind of temptation? Innocent, how many girls can resist that kind of temptation? Hey? Even tongue speaking ladies, some of them will fall to that temptation. Hi, pretty. So, what will make a very pretty, beautiful girl like you to be trekking under the sun, hot sun like this? Say no. In my place where we were raised, we were taught how to be nice to ladies. Please, can you enter the car? Hey! Say no. The lady say no. Nalayo, she won't enter. Just one. No. Where I'm going is not too far. I'll just say no. I insist, please. I'm not a ritualist. Yes. Okay. If you insist, I lie. You won't enter. In your heart of heart, you won't enter. You don't enter inside. You now on the AC. Hey. Praise God. No, say na package. See, if you judge based on physical sight and the physical ear,
you will be a victim of deception. You have to use your spirit. Am I communicating? The Bible talked about the branch. Say, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. In Isaiah 11 from verse 1. And then he said, the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The seven spirits of God. How many of you remember we looked at it when we did by my spirit? The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Spirit of counsel and might. Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He said, shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He said, he shall not judge afterward the hearing of his ear. He said, but with what? Oh, he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Now, is this not how natural men judge? Natural human being, is this not how they judge? Was this not how Lot, when there was a strife between Lot's headmen and Abraham's headsmen, and Abraham said, we be brethren. Abraham was the first to speak pidgin English in the Bible. So let there be no strife between your headsmen and my headsmen, or between me and you. He said, for we be brethren. He said, it's not the land between us. If you go north, I will go south. You go east, I will go west. He gave him the option to choose. And foolish Lot, the Bible says, he lifted up his eyes. He saw the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the thing was very green. Hi! He said, that place is the key to prosperity. Am I communicating? He was led by the sight, the senses. And then he made his choice based on the senses. Don't make your choice based on the senses. Consult with the spirit. Am I communicating? See with the eyes of the spirit. And then he went that way. And you all know how the story ended. Abraham needed to go and save him later. If not, he would have died. Am I communicating? And he later lost everything himself. Later lost all the things he had in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what happens when you make your decision based on the senses. Am I communicating? This is very important. See with the eyes of the Spirit. May God give you a seeing eye. May God give you a hearing ear. May God give you a wise and understanding heart. So that you will not be a victim of deception. Whether it is human deception or satanic demonic deception. He said, Abraham, what were we reading? He said, he shall not reprove. He said, shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ear. But with righteousness, look at it, with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the equity of the meek of the earth. Hallelujah! Judge, make righteous judgment by the Spirit. Make righteous judgment by the Spirit. By the Spirit. This was how Jesus chose his 12 disciples. Don't marry a man because of money. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Am I communicating? You ask the average lady, which kind of man do you want to marry? He said, tall, dark, handsome. Nonsense. Tall, dark, handsome. Nonsense. I say nonsense. You know why I say nonsense? Because it's not part of the primary requirement. How can that one be the first thing that comes to your mind? He didn't even say the will of God. I will marry the person that is in line with God's will for my life. He didn't mention God's will. He didn't mention good character. The first thing that came to your mind is tall, dark, and handsome. Even the devil can appear tall, dark, and handsome. Armed robbers can be tall, dark, and what? Ritualists can be tall, dark.
The first thing, when you talk of choice of who to marry, the first thing that should come to your mind is to find out the will of God and align in obedience. Who is the one God has appointed for me? Am I communicating? And it doesn't matter how the person looks. Looks are not part of the primary requirement. They are secondary. Are you getting my point?
Everybody is looking for tall, dark, and handsome. Who will marry the short people?
Say me. They ask you which kind of lady I want. She must be fair. Who will marry all the dark ladies and the chocolates and the black ones?
Nonsense. Don't mind my harsh language. I'm only trying to correct a mindset. If the one God have ordained for you is not fair skinned, if she is not fair, will you beat God? Will you now say you will not marry? Say, God, I don't want. God say, this is my will for you. The person is chocolate. He say, no, God, I don't want. It's mommy water I want. Don't worry, mommy water will soon locate you. I see in the marine world, if they discover that you have an obsession for fair person, they will package one like DHL, send down. It's not you in Jesus' name. You will not marry devil, oh. Never. Praise God. So that you don't become like some men that is on honeymoon night. They will now start running away from the hotel room. Running for deliverance. Say, Pastor, I don't see something. Glory to God. You will not carry your money to go and marry mommy water spirit or marry mermaid. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, to avoid making wrong choices, learn to pray before making important decisions. Before Jesus went to the cross, he spent time in prayer. He so prayed, just like who read that scripture? Was it Pastor Mafengo? That the Bible says he was sweating blood at the Garden of Gethsemane. He was in such intense agony. Why didn't Jesus just go to the cross like that? Why didn't he just allow the whole thing to happen? He knew that you have to first gain the victory over the cross, over death, over hell. He needed to prevail in the spirit. He needed to... Are you getting this? In the place of prayer, he needed to broker power to prevail and get the victory first. Until you do that, you will not see victory in the physical. Even this is flesh, does not want him to go to the cross. Do you know that even your flesh, without prayer, you won't be able to tame your flesh? Are you aware? One of the ways to subdue and to tame your flesh is by spending time in prayer. You don't know that. You better know. Your flesh, this flesh. Do you know Jesus' flesh will have stand in his way to fulfilling God's will? Watch it, oh, watch it. The only prayer God did not answer Jesus when he was on earth was when he prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane, that, Father, let this cup pass away from me. Which cup? The cup of suffering. The cup of going to the cross, that shameful, painful suffering. That being crucified like a common criminal. That cup was what his flesh didn't like it. His flesh repelled from it. The pain, the agony, his flesh said, no, don't go to the cross. Don't go through all that. That was why Jesus said, let this what? Cup pass away from me. Papa God did not answer that prayer. That's the only prayer God did not answer. He prayed 3 times. Then by the 3rd time, because he prayed, the prayer has helped him to subdue the flesh, to tame his flesh. So now, look at what he said. He said, Father, nevertheless, let your will, not mine, be done. That was the one that the father answered. How was he able to tame his flesh? Somebody say prayer. You can tame all those fleshly desire, all those sinful desire, all those things. You can tame those things in the place of prayer. In the place of prayer, through prayer, through prayer power, you will tame the flesh, subdue the flesh, and make it subject to God's will. That was how Jesus subdued his flesh and made his flesh subject to doing God's will. Because it was God's will for him to drink that cup. It was not the will of God for the cup to pass away. If the cup passed away, if Papa God answered that prayer, who will save humanity? God will start looking for a third Adam. Because Jesus was the second Adam. Are you getting my point? There are times that you know the right thing to do, but the energy to do it is not there. Your spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Have you been there? You know you are supposed to read your Bible, but you are not reading it. You know you are supposed to come for Metamorphosis or Festival of Fire. You are watching movie at home, watching football, or watching Telemundo, Zero. You know the right thing you were supposed to do, but you are not doing it. You know why? Your flesh. The problem is, your flesh needs to be subdued and made subject to God's will. And how do you do that? Somebody say prayer. You give yourself to prayer to tame your flesh. To tame your flesh. To overcome those fleshly lusts. Temptations. This is why people fall to temptations. Because their spirit man is weak. Their spirit is weak, but their flesh is very powerful. So their flesh will overpower their spirit and make them do the wrong thing. In their heart of heart, they know what they are doing is wrong. They shouldn't be doing it. But however, because their spirit is weak, their spirit cannot stop them from doing it. Why? Because their flesh is so strong. And then they see themselves falling to temptation. This is what prayer will do. Prayer will strengthen your spirit man. It will energize your inner man. It will strengthen your spirit man so that your spirit can now conquer your flesh. So that your spirit can dominate the flesh, dominate those fleshly desires, and make you not to do the wrong thing, and make you not to fall to temptation. Am I communicating? This is very important. Peter had the opportunity not to deny Jesus. Somebody say how? When Jesus took him to pray at that Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus saw temptation coming for Peter. He told them to pray, Peter, James, and John. He went a stone's throw from where they were and knelt down. Jesus himself was praying. 3 times he came. After the first, you know, standard Jewish prayer is 1 hour. After 1 hour, Jesus came and met them. They were heavy with sleep. Oh, may you not be sleeping when you are supposed to be praying. I say, may you not be sleeping spiritually when you are supposed to be praying. They were slumbering and sleeping. Jesus woke them up. He said, can't you watch with me for 1 hour? He went, continued prayer. After 1 hour, Jesus came back. They were still sleeping. The sleep was so anointed. It's as if anointing for sleep came upon them. Jesus woke them up again. Told them, watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. Because he saw temptation coming. Peter was part of them. Peter, James, and John. Even James. Jesus saw that James will be beheaded later. He said, pray now. He saw that Peter will deny Jesus later. He said, pray now so that you can avert the whole thing. So that you can get the victory over it. Do you know the prayer you are praying now is entering into your future, is correcting so many things? Are you getting my point? Prayer is a life-saving skill. Do you know the prayer you are praying now can save your life tomorrow? It can save the life of your loved ones tomorrow. I'm convinced that if Peter and John and James, if they had prayed for that at least 3 hours with Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter would not have denied Jesus. One, James would not have been beheaded later, because the church did not pray for him. If he had banked up prayer banking, if he had done prayer banking at the Garden of Gethsemane, he wouldn't have died. Are you listening? This is very important. How much prayer have you banked in your spiritual account that you can withdraw from later in the future? How much prayer? Kabarakataya. There are some men of God you see today, God is using mightily. If they even stop praying self, God will still be using them. You know why? They are drawing from what? The deposit of all the prayers they have prayed over the years. That's what they are enjoying now. The prayer they are praying now is not responsible for the result they are getting now. Hey, did you hear what I just said? The prayer they are praying now is not what is producing the result they are seeing now. It's the ones they have banked over the years. They are reaping dividends, profits, the reward of their prayer over the years. Am I communicating? This is very important. Your family will reap the dividend of the prayer you are praying now. Your children will reap the dividend. Your children's children will reap the dividend. So take it serious. It's not a religious routine. No. Do it with understanding. Glory to God. I say glory to God. After Jesus prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried. He sweated blood and cried. He sweated blood and cried. Do you know Jesus cried in the place of prayer? He cried. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. Let me show you. He cried at that Garden of Gethsemane when he was in such intense agony. The Bible says an angel of the Lord appeared and strengthened him. He started mechanically. Angelic strengthener came and he continued supernaturally. Are you getting me? He was praying with supernatural energy and he sweated blood. The Bible says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with what? Strong. Jesus did not just cry. The Bible described it as what? Strong crying. Somebody say strong crying. Kelebo selete. When last did you cry in the place of prayer? Some people have never ever cried in the place of prayer. No wonder you keep crying in life. Problem make you cry. Challenges make you cry. Demons make you cry. Why? Because you are not crying in the place of prayer. See, the only place you should cry is in the place of prayer. Show me anywhere else Jesus cried. Apart from cross, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Where else during his earth walk did he cry? If not in the place of prayer. Are you getting me? If you don't want life to be hard for you, then give yourself to prayer. If you want life to be easy for you, then you better do all the crying in the place of prayer. Are you getting the point? The cry where you suppose cry later, cry it in the place of prayer. Then there will be no need to cry. Because the things that will have made you cry later, you will handle it in the place of prayer. The challenges and problems that will have
brought tears out of your eyes that will have made you cry later. When you cry in prayer, it makes that one unnecessary. It will not happen. Hallelujah. By looking at the art and science of prayer, Jesus prevailed. Pastor Nenkup taught us the dynamics of prevailing prayer. He prevailed first in the place of prayer over the cross. No, he started with his flesh. At that garden of Gethsemane where he prayed, number one, Jesus prevailed over his flesh. His flesh that was not willing to go to the cross, he subdued and tamed it. Number two, he prevailed over Satan. He prevailed over sin. He prevailed over the cross. He prevailed over hell. He prevailed over death. He prevailed over the grave in the place of prayer. He prayed until he broke out power to prevail. And when he got the note of victory, after the third hour, Jesus was ready. He was ready. When he came to wake those sleeping disciples, Peter and John, look at what Jesus told them. He didn't say, continue praying. He said, time up. Let's go. The traitor is already on his way with his people. Jesus was ready. Prayer will make you ready. Hey, yeah. Hey. Prayer will make you ready for anything. There is this popular saying that a prayerful preparation prevents what? Poor performance. If you don't want to perform poorly in life and destiny, then learn to prepare prayerfully. Am I communicating? Jesus was ready. He was ready for his arrest. He was ready for the cross. He was ready for hell. He was ready for everything. He was ready to die. Why? Because he had already gotten the victory in the realm of the spirit. He had thrashed the matter. Are you getting me? When Judas led that scribes and chief priests and Roman soldiers that came to arrest Jesus, can you imagine? It was Jesus that went and even approached them. He said, whom do you seek? What a man. Somebody say boldness. You see, when you pray, there is this boldness that mantles you. Glory to God. There is this confidence. There is this audacity people of prayer carry. Have you ever listened to men of prayer? The way they talk, there is this authority in their voice. It's not about the loudness of their voice. There is this confidence. There is this boldness. There is this audacity. There is this authority that comes with it. They are fearless. Jesus was not afraid. He didn't run to hide behind somebody. He said, whom do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't even know him. As in, they couldn't recognize. They needed a sign from Judas, which was a kiss. Judas had told them, anyone I kiss is Jesus. He went and kissed. Jesus then said, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? I wonder how Judas felt. So it's not every kiss that is a kiss of love. Some kisses are kisses of what? Betrayal. Jesus was betrayed by Judas with a kiss. Am I communicating? Whom do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. They fell down. The anointing came on them. They fell. He was ready. Praise God. You can't fulfill your destiny. If Jesus couldn't fulfill his own destiny without a solid prayer life, what makes you think you can fulfill yours without having a prayer life? It's not possible. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. We are going to be programming next year now. And we're going to be crossing. You know, some are waiting for 31st December, right? December 31st night. For them to do crossover into what? New Year 2024. But guess what? In the realm of the spirit, we are doing our own crossover here. I say we are crossing over here and now in the realm of the spirit. So we are entering the new year before others. Others will catch up later. Tell your neighbor, others will catch up with us later. But we were entering now. And we are going to be releasing words into next year. I say we are going to be releasing words. You know, words are spiritual programmers. Prophetic words are spiritual programmers. We are going to be declaring prophetic words that we program year 2024 for success, for greatness, for victory, in line with God's word. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
We are going to be spiritually programming the year for greatness, not for smallness. For what?
Greatness.
For the year to release to us everything God have ordained. The blessings, the favors, the open doors, the monies. Are you getting me? There are those that we marry next year. Yes, there are those that they will touch their first 10 million naira next year. You know, there are so many things. So many things. There are those that will drive their Jeep next year, drive cars next year. Kalido Bagadai. So you prophetically program the year. And there are those that must not die next year. Because part of God has plan for your life. Satan too has a plan. And based on Satan's plan, he has planned that some people will die before this year is over. Some will die next year. So by prophetic programming, you can enter into the year. Avert those disaster, avert those danger, avert death sentence. There are people that death sentence is hanging on them or their family members. It's in the place of prayer you upturn those things. Are you getting me? Lagido sepeletena, kalidros ketila pora katina, ingra katula pora katina. Are you listening? Me and my wife, we went to JFM for today's broadcast, and one of the lady there that works there, she's one of their staff. She's the one that normally you will hear her voice doing sport, all those sport news analysis before I come up. I think it's 7:30 to 8. Then me, Avalanche of Good News broadcast is 8 to 8:30. She was telling me that she came for Glory Incense Concert and Crusade. I said, wow, that for the 2 days, that there was a word that I spoke about the spirit of fear of accident that is preventing someone from traveling. She said she was the one who, that word was for her. That she wanted to travel, but fear. But that thing broke. I said, that thing broke. It left her. You understand? A lot of people are victims of so many things. Life is spiritual. I've told you before, there are more demons than human population on earth. But the good news is that there are more angels than demons. So if you now calculate the angels on earth plus the demons, compare them, the spirit beings on earth, to the human population, which one is more? Life is very spiritual. It's we that separate the realm of the spirit from the physical realm. I've taught you before. The spirit, how do I put it? The earth, this seen earth, this material universe, the earth realm is a part of the realm of the spirit. Have I not explained it before? If you see the realm of the spirit like a cycle,
Just to put one small dot. That small dot is like the earth realm that is seen. So the earth is in the realm of the spirit. It's not one, two separate realm. The Jews don't separate them. The Jews don't separate. As far as the Jews are concerned, there is no difference or separation between the realm of the spirit and the physical realm. It's we that are separating it in our mind. Life is very spiritual. In the physical, you see somebody moving alone. But in the realm of the spirit, if God opens your eye, some people are moving with demons around them. Demons of bad luck. Demons of disfavor. Demons of sickness. Demons, all manner of demons, responsible for all their problems. No wonder they will apply for job, they will reject them. Rejection. Shame. Their life is characterized by all those activities of those demons. There are some people that even when somebody wants to help them, you will have to struggle to help them. Why? Because they move around with those wrong spirits, spirit of disfavor, that spoils any form of favor that wants to come to them. There are people like that. I want to help them. I will have to struggle to help them. Then I know that something is wrong with this person. Something is wrong. Then there are those that you want to help them. You are even excited. They have this kind of lovely spirit. When you come around them, you want to help them. People favor them. People give them things. Are you listening? Why? Because angels of favor, they move around with angels of favor. Anywhere they go, doors open for them. Others are jealous of them. They like to steal our shine. Every time, now you. Because that, they will just hate you. Anytime there is any opportunity, the moment they see you, they'll start vexing. They'll say, I know, say they go carry them. They go carry and leave us. Nah, our fault. Anybody tell you, may you not carry angels of favor? When you carry angels of demons of disfavor around you, why wouldn't they pick others ahead of you? Are you getting my point? Life is spiritual. There is more to this life than meet the eyes. Some people are moving around with the spirit of death. There's a death sentence hanging on them. The spirit of death is just waiting for the appointed date, because these people are appointed to death, to die. Except a higher power delivers them. Are you getting my point? Except a higher power break that thing. If not, they are moving around with a death sentence. The death sentence can be in form of sickness itself. Can be in form of a medical illness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some people in spirit of depression and discouragement, they move around with nothing. They are tired of living. Nothing they sweet them again about life. Even when they are in church, people are like praise fiesta. Just imagine that kind of praise fiesta, that the spirit of joy and gladness is everywhere. People are even carrying chair, dancing everywhere. Them go just waiting. May no match me the way they dance like this. Hi, spirit of depression. Even follow you, and you agree may stay for this kind of environment when you are supposed to receive your own deliverance. Am I communicating? Yes, sir. Life, tell your neighbor, life is spiritual. That's why you must be prayerful, because prayer is a spiritual law of dominion. We dominate the earth realm through prayers. We activate the ministry of angels in our favor through prayers.
we release the ministry of the Holy Spirit through prayer. There is the supply of the Spirit. We activate the supply of the Spirit through prayer. Philippians 1:19, Apostle Paul said, I know that this shall turn for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit. The two are connected, prayer and the supply of the Spirit, because prayer will trigger the supply of the Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the supply of the Spirit is the answer to your every need. Am I communicating? It may come in form of wisdom. It may come in form of financial blessing. It may come in form of peace. It may come in form of open doors. It may come in form of healing. All your needs are met through the supply of the Spirit, activated through prayer. Are you getting the point? This is very important. We are looking at the heart and what? Go back to that Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Luke 1:11, and it came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us what? To pray. Teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. Please help her. The power of God is on her. He said, teach us to pray. So he's not just talking about the science of prayer there. He's talking of the art of prayer. Teach us to pray. It's not just teach us so that we'll have PhD in prayer. He didn't just say teach us so that we'll become professors of prayer. Are you getting my point? He said, teach us to pray. The essence of the teaching is so as to make us pray, not for us to accumulate knowledge about prayer. It's not to make us knowledge accumulators concerning the subject of prayer. It's not just for us to receive rhema and revelation about prayer. It's so that we will pray, the practice, the art of prayer. Are you getting my point? Teach us to pray. Manda kabarakataya. He said, as John also taught his disciples. Next verse. And look at what Jesus said. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in the earth. So Jesus gave them a template. What we call the Lord's Prayer. A template that they can use to pray. A template. What? You know, most of the time when we pray, we finish prayer, we now say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. We use it as a way of ending prayers. That's not what Jesus was saying, okay? What he's saying is that if you want to pray, use this template. Use this format. It is not necessarily saying that you should be repeating this after every prayer session. Mm-mm, that's not what he's saying. He's saying use this as a template, as a format. Am I communicating? He said, when you pray, say. In other words, speak. Am I communicating? Say, our Father which art in heaven. So you start by recognizing the fatherhood of God. Start by recognizing God as your Father, your loving heavenly Father. Am I communicating? Say with me, God is my Father, and he loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Do you know that? It's in the Bible. God loves you the same way he loves Jesus. He loves you to the degree he loves Jesus. Some people don't understand God as their Father, the fatherhood of God. So they see God like one wicked person that they need to twist his hand, like one unwilling father that you have to force him against his will in order for him to bless you, in order for you to receive answer. Your picture about God is wrong. God is not an unwilling, just like was it Pastor Mafeng that was saying it? He said prayer is not trying to overcome God's unwillingness to give to us. No. God is ever loving, God is ever willing, and God is ever giving. There is no problem on the God side, the giving side. The challenge is on the receiving end, on the woman side. Am I communicating? So, you want to enjoy your prayer life? Have the right picture of God as your heavenly Father. Your loving, ever loving, ever willing, ever giving heavenly Father. Am I communicating? He said, our Father. He didn't even say God in heaven. He said, our Father. That talks of relationship. That talks of relationship. That talks of relationship. My boy, Pibobo, is always excited when he wants to come and ask me for anything. He comes with so much faith. My wife is here. She will tell you. He knows that I will give it to him. He's not in doubt whether or not I will give it to him. He knows I love him and I will give anything good. I will release it. That's how you should be, and even much more. See God as your heavenly Father that is ever willing to give to you, because he loves you so much. God is not a withholder. God is a giver, ever willing giver. Is it he that withheld not his son? If he did not withhold his son, Romans 8:32. Give me Romans 8:32. We'll come back here. It says, he that spared not his own son, there is nothing God will spare for you. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Look at it. This scripture changed my entire perspective and paradigm about prayer. This scripture changed all my thinking about God for best. I meditated on this scripture some years back, and what I saw there, it changed my life. He said, if God did not spare his own son, and who is his son? That is his highest and best. Tell me, is there anything else that God has that is greater than his son? Talk to me. This is his highest and his best that he can ever give, is Jesus. And the Bible says he did not spare Jesus. He delivered him. He gave Jesus as a gift to us. If he can give us Jesus, he said, is there anything else? God will say no. It's just like if a multi-billionaire gave his son $50 billion, is it 5,000 naira that he will not give his son? Think of it. He that spared not his son, if God has released his highest and best to us, what else will he not give us? What else will he withhold from us? He has already given us his best. Do you know every other thing you can ever petition God and ask God for is less than what he has already given? All the things you are praying about is less than Jesus. Is less than Jesus. Is less than this highest and best offer that God has given us. Say with me again, God is my loving heavenly Father. He will not say no to my prayers. Because he has given me Jesus, which is his highest and best offer, he will not say no to anything else that I ask him that is even less than what he has already given. Now, go back to that Lord's Prayer that we are looking at. It's people that called it Lord's Prayer. Jesus himself did not call it
Lord's Prayer. Okay? They call it the Lord's Prayer, but this is not the Lord's Prayer. Let me clarify that straight ahead. This is not the Lord's Prayer. Jesus did not say, "This is my prayer." Is this Jesus' prayer? He only gave us a template. Shall I tell you, show you the Lord's Prayer in the Bible? John 17. Don't go there. The whole prayer there, that was the time that Jesus prayed apart from the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the time Jesus prayed and his prayer was recorded. In fact, this is the most lengthy prayer Jesus ever prayed in the Bible. And it was recorded. His words were recorded. So this is, John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Not this one. When you say Mafeng's prayer, that means we heard him praying and we recorded it. Have you? Will you call something Mafeng's prayer and he didn't pray it? So tell your neighbor, the Lord's Prayer is in John 17. Not this one. No. Okay, Jesus was only giving them a template, a format here. He said, "Our Father." So I said, you start by what? Recognizing what? The fatherhood of God. Number two, he said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. That talks of the prayer of worship, praise, the prayer of adoration. Okay? So, after recognizing the fatherhood of God, next, spend time praising and worshiping God and thanking God. It's called the prayer of fellowship. You are not asking for anything now. Are you getting me? Hallowed be thy name. You adore his name, okay? Praise, worship, and what? Thanksgiving. Pastor Simi Celebrator, she taught on Thanksgiving last Sunday. I listened to the message. Very powerful. Very powerful. Am I communicating? So always start every prayer with what? Worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Some people just go straight. Lord, if you don't give me that 100,000, I go backslide. I've told you, prayer is not a complaint commission. You don't threaten God in prayer. You know, some people say they are praying, but actually they are complaining. If you listen, that's why. Sometimes you need to hear what people say when they pray. Sometimes people will tell you this problem, I've prayed, nothing. Not me, I like to know. How did you pray? What did you say when you prayed? Because it's not every prayer that God hears an answer. God only hears an answer the prayer that is done according to his will. There is the right way to pray, there is the wrong way to pray. What did you say when you prayed? You claim that God did not answer. Did he even hear the prayer? Did he get to him? Am I communicating? So, you start with what? After recognizing the fatherhood of God, what next? Take time to worship God, to praise God, and to thank God. Next, he said, "Hallowed be thy name." Then next is what? The kingdom dimension. I'm showing you the priority. This is the order. This is how you should pray, okay? You start by recognizing the fatherhood of God so that your faith will come alive. Then next, you what? Worship, praise, and thank God. Next, thy kingdom come. You pray kingdom advancement prayer. You pray kingdom advancement prayer. You pray kingdom advancement prayer. There is a kingdom dimension to your prayer. Before you ask God to meet your own need, ask yourself, does God have a need? Does God have a need on earth? What is his need? Thy kingdom come, establishment of his will, his plans and purposes on earth. Am I communicating? Okay, go to Matthew 6 verse 9. I think Matthew brought out this prayer, this format, in a better version. Matthew 6 9. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, that which art in heaven, recognize the fatherhood of God, hallowed be thy name. That's prayer of adoration. That's worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Next. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So you will pray for the establishment and enforcement, for the enforcement of God's will, for the establishment of God's will in the earth realm. This is the kingdom dimension. Am I communicating? You pray for God's kingdom to be advanced through the preaching and the teaching and demonstration of the gospel. You pray for the salvation of souls. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You pray for the salvation of souls. You pray for the salvation of territories. You pray for the establishment, the enforcement of God's will. Am I communicating? Very important. Thy kingdom come. It's an invitation to spiritual warfare. Because on earth there is a clash of kingdom. There is a clash of civilization. Hallelujah. So, you engage, number three, you engage the kingdom dimension. That's what I'm trying to explain. Did you notice that we have not talked about your needs or the need of the person you want to pray for yet? But most of the time, that's the one we start with first. Am I communicating? That's not the right order. Follow the kingdom priority. Okay? Thy kingdom come. Jesus has paid the price for the salvation of the world. Yet, how many people are born again? Can you see the number of souls that are still unsaved in their billions? More than 5 billion plus people are not even Christians. Even the 2.something billion that are Christians, among all of them doing Christian religion, there are still many of them that are not born again. So you pray for the salvation of souls. You pray for the salvation of the lost. You pray for kings, for those that are in authority, leaders, both secular leaders, spiritual leaders. You pray for ministers of the gospel, just like Pastor Nenkup led us to pray. You know, because they are like the generals, they are commanding officers in front of the battalion, leading the soldiers. So they are like the target, the main target of the enemy. Am I communicating? A man of God once had accident. He had a plane crash, but God spared his life. He didn't die. Some other people died. So after the whole thing, he was asking God. He said, how come I had an accident? Then God told him that you don't have enough people praying for you. The answer was that simple. He said, you don't have enough people praying for you. You must learn to pray for ministers of the gospel. Am I communicating? You learn to pray. Intercession. We build a bulwark of fire around them. Because they are like the main target of attack of the enemy. Hallelujah. So you pray that all men will come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You also intercede for the saints, believers, scattered across the world. I'm showing you kingdom advancement prayer now. Okay? You pray for what? Salvation of souls. You pray for kings and those in authority. You pray for ministers of the gospel in the body of Christ. You pray for the saints, believers scattered across the world. Am I communicating? What are you praying for? You are praying for their spiritual growth and maturity. You are praying for the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened. You are interceding for them, for their protection, safety, security, for them to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Am I communicating? Kingdom advancement prayer. massive harvest of souls into the kingdom. He said the harvest is great, the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth more laborers. You pray for God to release more laborers, to trust and force more laborers into the harvest field. The compelling power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. Because the will of God is not being established in the earth realm as it is in heaven. It will take the partnership of prayer, the partnership of faith to enforce the will of God, to establish it. Is there sickness in heaven? Is there sickness on earth? Is sickness God's will? Is there sin in heaven? Is there sin on earth? Are there sinners in heaven? Are there sinners on earth? So you are praying for the will of God to be established on earth as it is in heaven. Are you getting my point? Very important. As it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. Miracles don't just happen. They are made to happen. And one of the ways you provoke the miraculous is through prayer. The power to provoke miraculous manifestation, you activate it through prayer. Am I communicating? You activate it through prayer. You activate it. When I'm preparing for miracle service, I do more of prayer than even reading Bible. Most of the times, I spend 98 to 99% of the time in prayers when I'm preparing for a miracle service. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes what? Tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working. The power works like a dynamite. Like a dynamite. Are you listening? And a dynamite is an explosive device. So you through prayer, you release the explosive power of God that causes miracles. The dunamis power of God, the miracle working power of God is made available. Are you listening? It's made available through prayers, showers of blessings. Through prayers. This year is November, is very unique. Rain is still falling here and there. Hallelujah. It's made available. Tangible power. The power of God is real. When you learn to pray, you make power available. And it is power that performs miracles. Miracles are deeds of power. Miracles are deeds of power. Am I communicating? They are deeds of power. The earnest, James 5:16 being amplified. Heartfelt, continued prayer. Continued prayer. So that's to tell you that there is a continuity in prayer. It's not this 5-10 minute prayer you stop. Mm-mm. There must be element of what? Persistence, perseverance, a continuity in prayer. Continued prayer of a righteous man. So you have to be righteousness conscious. Of a righteous man makes tremendous power, not small, small power. Tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Hallelujah. Prayer. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I've taught you that prayer is beyond God hearing you and releasing the answer. Because God can hear your prayer, God can release the answer. But in this realm, you didn't get it. It's possible. It happened to Daniel. Because of demonic interference.
It takes power to import the answers into this realm. It takes power. It takes spiritual energy to materialize your desired answers. Are you getting my point? Those needs, those your needs that you are praying about, it takes power to meet them. It's the power of God. And you make it available through prayer. You make it available through prayer. You make it available through prayer. Are you listening? Ephesians 3 verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, dunamis, that worketh in us. Did you see that? Unto him that is able to do. So God does exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Are you seeing something there? According to the power, not the one stored in heaven, according to the power that worketh in us. Not according to the power that is stored up in our spirit. No. According to the power that worketh. The Greek word worketh is energio. It means active. According to the power that is active. It means operational. According to the power that is operative in us. According to active power. Operative power, not the one that is stored inside our spirits. So we need to make it available so that it will become operative, it will become active. It is through prayer you make it active. It is through prayer that, listen, the power moves from potential energy into what? Kinetic energy. It gains motion and then it becomes available. According to the power that worketh in us. Are you listening? This is very important. I can pray for somebody, maybe with a sickness and pain. I can pray for the person. Now, there are two ways to do it. I can use my authority in the name of Jesus and demand for that person's healing. Then the second way I can get this person healed is by using dunamis power that I have made available through prayer and then minister healing to the person. Are you seeing what I'm trying to explain? Now if I'm using my authority, I don't need too much prayer. I don't need to pray to activate power to get that done. But if I'm using dunamis power, I will need to pray. To make the power available, to make it functional, to make it operative, to make it active. Are you getting this? According to the power that worketh in us, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hallelujah. And I like to say, it's only available power that is usable. It's only what? Available power that what? Is usable. The power can be in your spirit, but if you've not made it available through prayer, you can't use it to get things done. You can't use it to do work. You can't use it to do work. Am I communicating? You can't use it to perform miracles. Glory to God. The art and science of prayer. Are you learning something? According to the power that worketh in us. So you learn to pray. I say number one,
Go back to that Matthew 6 verse 9 and 10. Number one, recognize what? The fatherhood of God. Number two, prayer of what? Praise, worship and thanksgiving. That's adoration. Next, the kingdom dimension. That's what? Pray kingdom advancement prayer. And what does that mean? Pray for the salvation of the lost, intercede for lost souls, harvest of souls into the kingdom. Pray for leaders, those in authority, secular and spiritual leaders, ministers of the gospel. Next, pray for all the saint believers scattered across the world. For what? Their growth, their maturity, protection, etc. Hallelujah. You pray for God's kingdom to be advanced. You pray for the spread of the gospel. You pray for the spread of the gospel through every available medium. Am I communicating? You pray for the spread of the gospel. Very important. Whether it is through avalanche of good news broadcasts, or through our messages, all through our services, you know, you pray for the spread of the gospel. Am I communicating? Enlargement of the kingdom. So let's continue from there. We are in verse 10. Is it thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Before you now come, verse 11, you now come, give us this day our daily bread. Can you see this? But most of the times, many of us start from here anytime we want to pray. Follow the order. Tell your neighbor, follow the order. Follow the prescribed due order. So it's after you've done number 1 to 3. This is number 4, right? Then you can now pray for God to meet your needs. This is specific prayer now. Prayer of petition or prayer of faith. Or maybe you want God to do something for somebody else. That's intercession. Whether it is prayer of petition or intercession or supplication, you now pray, give us what? This day. Whether it is that bread, whether it is material need or financial need or healing or miracle job or opportunities, breakthrough, miracle husband, whatever you need, you can now ask. Am I communicating? Or you want to intercede for a loved one? This is where it comes in. You petition God, give us this day our daily bread. Next verse. And then he said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, you walk in love and forgiveness. Am I communicating? Love and what? Forgiveness. If you don't walk in love, your prayer is zero. One of the hindrances to people's prayer life is when they don't walk in love. When you don't forgive, when you are bitter, bitterness, unforgiveness, you are keeping malice. Husband and wife, they are fighting. They are not in good terms. The Bible says it can hinder your prayer. So tell your neighbor, walk in love, walk in forgiveness, for your prayer to be effective. Glory to God. You walk in love. Very important. When you don't walk in love, I'm telling you, all your tongues is like tingling cymbal. It's like clashing of the cymbals. They are just clashing cymbals. You are like an empty gong. That's what the Bible says. Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and tongues of angels, and I have no love, I am what? Nothing. I am a noisemaker. I'm like empty gunk. I'm like a tingling cymbal or something. Praise God. I say praise God. Let me preach it to your neighbor. Walk in love. Walk in forgiveness. Don't harbor grudges. Refuse to be offended. Give no room for offense. Very important. Will offense come? Yes, they will come. Offense will come to you. Whether from human beings, I can even offend you, sir. Offense can come from anybody. What is more important is how you deal with it. Will you allow yourself to be bitter, to be offended? Or will you walk in forgiveness? Will you walk in love? Am I communicating? Glory to God. I say glory to God. So, it says, forgive. Then next verse, 13. Are you getting the keys? What's the first one? Recognize the fatherhood of God. Number two. Start with what? Praise, worship, thanksgiving. Number three. Pray kingdom advancement prayer, kingdom dimension. Number four. You petition God to meet your need or intercede for somebody else. Next, walk in love and forgiveness. Then, number what now? Is it lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? It says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So you conclude with what? Conclude with what? Worship, praise, and what? Thanksgiving. That's how important the prayer of worship, praise, and thanksgiving is. You start with it, you end with it. You start with it after recognizing the fatherhood of God, and you conclude with what? With it. Hallelujah. Who is enjoying this? Whose prayer life will change from today? You will start receiving more answers when you follow this format, this blueprint, this template. Am I communicating? Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Kubarabaka sabrakata. Shabababu sibalaka bakata. Embrekete suvregedila gabagadia. In Jeremiah 33 verse 3, God said, call upon me and I will answer you. Hey! Call upon me. I will not say no. I will not refuse. I will what? Answer you. In other words, the prayer platform is a platform to receive an avalanche of answers. We have guaranteed answers. He said, call upon me, I will answer thee. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. So the altar of prayer is a platform to receive an avalanche of answers. Solution, answers to the questions of life, answers to your petition. Am I communicating? Malaka sulebelekete. Everyone, not some, everyone that asketh, receiveth. So if you ask and don't receive, it's not the will of God. Something is wrong. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. If you ask according to God's rule, according to scriptural guideline, according to God's will, you are supposed to receive answer. Everyone that asketh, receive it.
Kole balataya.
He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Bareko sedia.
Go back to that Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. This is God speaking. And then I will show thee great and mighty things. I will show you. The altar of prayer is the altar of revelation and visions. It's a platform for receiving revelation and vision. He said, I will show you. God will show you things. Am I communicating? He will show you revelations. He will show you visions of his plan, his purposes, his program, his will. Am I communicating? I will show you great and mighty things concerning 2024. God can start showing you now. God can start showing you his plans, his purposes and program for 2024, the new year. You don't need to wait until December 31st. You don't need to wait to enter the new year first physically. God said he can show you his plan and purposes for 2024 when you call upon him in the place of prayer. You don't need to visit native doctor to see for you. You don't need to visit any false prophet to see for you. When you learn to pray, God will show you his will. He will show you his plans and purposes. You will assess revelation and vision. Am I communicating? He said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. I will show you great and mighty things. Are you aware there are great and mighty things God has prepared for you? There are great and mighty things concerning your future. There are great and mighty things concerning your divine destiny. God wants to show them to you. He wants to reveal them to you. But you must call upon him in the place of prayer. Is somebody ready to call upon God? Mashali go bagada. He said, I will answer you. And I will show you. I will show you. I will show you. Kalabatiza. Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The Holy Ghost will download them to you. Kalido borakataya. Jeremiah 29:11. God said, I know the plans I think towards you. They are plans of good and not of evil. To give you an expected end. To give you a hope and a future. So this is talking about God's plan and purpose for your life. It's talking about your divine destiny. Then move to verse 12. He said, then, after you have discovered God's plan and purpose, your divine destiny, he said, don't go to sleep. The next thing is what? You have to partner with God in prayer. You have to call upon God. He said, ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. Knowledge of God's will for your life, knowledge of God's plan and purpose will push you to the place of prayer. Should not make you to just sit down, cross your leg, doing nothing. Mm-mm. You must partner with God in order to bet his will. You must partner with God to fulfill your divine destiny. He said, it's an invitation to prayer. He said, you shall call upon me, pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13. And then look at 13. I like 13. He said, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. This is the law of encounter. This is the law of divine encounter. You seek God. You search for him with everything within you, all your heart. You want God more than everything else. Am I communicating? You desire him more than everything and anything else. And then God says, I will encounter you. Give me this in message translation. The prayer altar is a platform for divine encounter. God can be known through divine encounter that reveals him to us. And it's on the altar of prayer that you get to encounter God. Kalibarakata. You can either encounter him through his word, or you can encounter him direct through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating?
Whether it is revelatory word-based encounters or it is spectacular supernatural encounter, you get to encounter God on the platform of prayer. Visionary encounters, revelatory encounters. Glory to God. Message translation says, when you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes. When you get serious. Some of you praying, you are not serious yet. God said you want to encounter me, get serious. When you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, you want it more than money, you want it more than anything you can ever think of. More than job, more than business. You want it more than anything else. God becomes your one and number one priority. Your number one point agenda. God becomes your one point agenda. He said, when you get serious about finding me and you want it more than anything else, and then this is the key and the law of divine encounter. This is how to encounter God. Did somebody come here to encounter God, or you came here just because they say you should come? Did you come here to encounter God in this festival of fire, the last festival of fire for the year, or you came here as part of your religious routine? Did you come here as a religious exercise? Did you come here as a religious routine or ritual? Or you came here for serious business? You came here to find God, to encounter God. Can somebody lift up his voice, her voice? Lift up your voice.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.